the She's Becoming Domestic podcast, a place for modern moms to listen, laugh, learn, and love the crazy life she leads. Here's Shanasty and Brad.
And welcome in, everybody, to the She's Becoming Domestic podcast. Brad and Shanasty here with you as we are closing down, sadly, summer. As fall approaches, school approaches, all the summer fun, the summer trips have come to a close. Shanasty, are you either happy or sad about seeing the fall come?
I'm sad, Brad. I think that the only really great thing about fall is football season and cooler weather, of course. We all look for those crisp fall evenings, but it's crazy. I was actually talking to someone at the pool yesterday about this, how, you know, you would think that this summer would just drag on and on because we were in lockdown. And then last year, just the school year was just all over the place. And I kind of went into summer thinking, man, this is going to be the longest summer ever. And here we are mid-August and kids are going back to school just like that.
So when I was in school, we didn't start till Labor Day. Is that how it was in Ohio when you were younger, or was it always a mid-August?
No, we never started before Labor Day. It's crazy how early they go back because especially up here in Ohio, we don't really get true summer weather until June or even the second week of June. You can't even really go to the swimming pool until mid-June. And then we're just completely robbed of it because come August 18th, that's when our kids go back, school's back. And it's just, it's crazy to me. And I understand they get out earlier, but the weather here in the spring is just suboptimal. It's not great. You cannot go to the swimming pool. You can't really enjoy it until June, July, August. Now, our fall is absolutely beautiful, probably the prettiest season we have in the state of Ohio or the Midwest in general. But it just, it goes by so quickly. It's kind of like you reach July 4th and yeah.
Yeah, July 4th is kind of the peak of the summer mountain. Then on the backside, you're going down, sadly. It's like, you leaving a Disney resort while the new family comes in and you're the ones that are sad.
Worst feeling ever, by the way.
And we were just talking about how, or you were mentioning how advertisers, like right after July the 4th, start pimping their products. And it's like, guys, that's not supposed to make us happy.
Oh, I know. It's like, hey, happy 4th of July. Here's a pumpkin spice latte, because this is what you're supposed to be thinking about now. You're going straight into the fall. And I know a lot of people are really excited about the fall. Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm ready to get into a better routine than we've been in, especially with homeschool and with quarantine and everything. I'm really looking forward to some sense of normalcy going into the fall. All of our fall sports are starting back up this week and next week. My daughter's going back to school. She's going to be in second grade. My 4-year-old's going to preschool finally for the first time. So I'm ready for some sense of normalcy, but at the same time, it will be kind of sad not to have them around to just go to the swimming pool or do really whatever we want to do.
Oh, I know. And while we're talking about school, almost if everybody's children were home all year, with mine being older, they were such tremendous helps in keeping the house clean.
Right.
I have Marin, who's just, the apple doesn't fall from the tree. She's my Cinderella, we call her, because she cleans the house constantly. And I will be missing that. I joked with her as she left today for her first day. I said, now, Marin, when you get home, and she was expecting me to give her a list.
Yeah, it's back to your Cinderella garb and broom and get down on your... Get down and start scrubbing the floor. No, Marin's great. I wish I had a Marin. I feel like it's pulling teeth to try to get my kids to make their beds, but I digress. I don't know. I think it, but also though, at the same time, I'm happy to have them, some of them out of the house. So the house will stay a little cleaner than opposed to just constantly all day long picking up after them.
Yeah, and I want to get into pre-4th of July stuff here in a minute, but while we're rolling here on school, do you practice school before they go on their first day?
Meaning
like you send them to bed at the right time, you get them up early. Like we say, hey, you guys have school this week, so we're going to go to bed early and we're going to get you up. So it's not a like waking a hibernating bear on the day of.
Well, that is really solid advice, because I got to be completely honest with you, Brad. My kids have not gone to school in almost like 2 years.
But they've been being educated.
Yeah, they've been educated by mom. But in Eden, my gosh, she's 7. And I tell people this, homegirl will sleep till 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And that just, I mean, that's a teenager. That's not a 7-year-old.
Right.
He is in for a rude awakening next week. Yes. When that school bus comes at 8:24, and she's, because I'll have to wake her up sometimes to get Luke to golf or to go to swim lessons, and it's at 9 o'clock. I have to wake her up at 8:30, and she's like, "It's so early." But I think so. Eden starts back to school next Thursday, which is the 19th. So I think that. Yeah, we have our weekends this weekend with absolutely nothing. I swear to you, it is the first weekend all summer long where we have nothing. No get-togethers with neighbors, no sports, just nothing. So we are going to spend the weekend trying to get better sleep, trying to prepare for next week, getting the house organized. Of course, I'm homeschooling Luke this year. So I'm trying to get that schoolroom organized, and we're just going to really try to lock down and try to get ready for the school year.
Gosh. So let me ask you, this might be the hardest question of the podcast. Are you anticipating, because I know Eden's going back, Luke is being homeschooled. Are you going to have any, do you think, friction between those two, because Eden will have to get up early?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. And Jeff and I, this year is going to be really interesting. Luke, since day one, has not wavered. He wants to be homeschooled because of he's extremely disciplined. He's my child that he woke up at 7 o'clock. He got a shower. He came downstairs. He had his breakfast, and he almost knocked out all of his homeschool studies before Eden got out of bed. Right. So that's why he likes it. He likes homeschool because he can do it at a quicker pace. He gets through it faster, and then he can go golf or he can go do other things. Now, I did sign him up for a co-op this year, which I'm really excited about. I didn't do that last year, where he'll actually go into a physical school setting once a week for the entire day, which will be great. But
nice.
I think that is going to be the biggest question. If I had to predict, I think Eden is going to love going back to school, but I don't think she's going to love not getting home till 4 o'clock. I mean, the school bus doesn't come back to our house till 4, and that's really late.
Yeah.
That's really, really late. And then it's off to ballet, or it's off to soccer, and then it's dinner, bed. And I think that she will probably be a little jealous of the free time. I'm not saying Luke and I are going to venture off to Cincinnati without her or anything, but it's just little things like going to golf lessons or going to swim or whatever it will be. But she made a comment to me a couple of days ago, because I was cleaning out the homeschool room, and she said, "Mom, you know, I really want to be homeschooled." And that's the first time she said that. And I said, "All right, well, Eden, we already signed up to go to second grade. You already have a teacher assignment. You're going to ride the school bus. If you choose that you want to be homeschooled again after this year, or maybe after this semester, cool. Like, I'm willing to do that for you." But I think because it's been so long since she's been to school, it's hard for her to really justify not wanting to go at this time.
Yeah. And she's hitting that age where you really start having friends.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, she's been in ballet since she's 2 years old. So she has her friends through ballet, or she has her friends in the neighborhood, but she's yet to really have a birthday party with friends from school, or even being invited to a birthday party with friends from school. So I think that she's going to really thrive in that environment. Plus, if we're being completely honest, I think she's going to listen better to a teacher than to mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So It'll be, but I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. And we may be really surprised after this year. Luke may say, hey, mom and dad, I want to go back to school. And that's fine. We really wanted to give our kids the options if I was willing to do the homeschool again, which at the end of last year's homeschool, I was like, hell no, I'm never homeschooling again. Mm. But now that I've had some time off and I was like, well, you know, it really wasn't that bad. We'll see how this year goes. I think it's going to be an experimental year. Jeff says it's really not traditional to divide. Usually all the kids do one thing or the other. They don't right. pick and choose, but it'll be interesting.
I didn't even think about the scenario of potentially Luke wanting to go because Eden goes. Because, yeah, that'll be interesting to watch, I think.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be because, of course, she's going to come home with, you know, treats and things she made in art class and stories. And Luke's not going to really have those. So it'll be an interesting year. And Adam's going to preschool for the very first time, which I'm pretty sure he's going to cry every day for a month. But he'll get through it. So
yeah. They have so much fun at that level. You know, Kevin, well, all my kids, I have been so lucky in the fact that they've all loved going to school.
Right.
They kind of were bummed out with the stay-at-home stuff. Of course, you know, they like the perks of they got to stay up extra late and got to sleep in. But at the end of the day, and I guess it's because they're older and they're used to the structure, they just thrive better in the school environment. And mostly because of friends.
Sure.
And sure. Again, we've really just dodged a lot of bullets through our years of, you know, no like crazy stories of bullying or bad experiences at school. So we've been super, super lucky with that.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be an interesting year for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are venturing into homeschool for the first time because they're just not happy with their district or then our district's not offering virtual. It's either all in, all out this year. I'm sure that's kind of how it is for a lot of school districts. I think it's going to be an interesting year for a lot of people. I mean, I think I read an article in New York Times. It said that there's been this mass exodus of children from public schools and private schools and going the homeschool route, where homeschool used to be so taboo. It used to just be like, man, those kids they don't know how to socialize, or they don't have any friends, or they're losers. I mean, I think that that's kind of just been the thought of homeschool for a long, long time. And now it just seems to be becoming more common because of the freedom and the flexibility. And you don't really need 8 hours to teach kids a day's worth of lessons. You just don't.
Yeah, no, you don't. But as you know, school is also kind of an outlet to allow one to work.
For sure. Because when you get into the real world, you're right. It is 8 hour work day. It's not a 3 hour or a 4 hour work day. Unless part time or.
Well, you know, and with this kind of pivot point of businesses allowing you to work from home more, there's kind of just a lot more wiggle room there to kind of handle your business, I guess.
Yes, for sure.
Well, hey, let's go back in time and talk a little bit about our summer stuff, because we had a fun summer, even though it's coming to an end. I know you guys, well, a few major things, but let's start with you were back out in Montana, a place where in January we were definitely conquered by the ski slopes.
We almost died, but we didn't.
No snow this time. I know it was a much better, at least non-skiing trip.
Yeah, but Natalie and I, my cousin and I, have talked multiple times. That January trip with you and Carrie, that was one for the books. But you're right. So pretty much every summer around 4th of July, we go out with our family. And this past summer, we were there for 2 weeks, and it was just wonderful. It was extremely relaxing. We didn't really have any agenda, any plans whatsoever. We spent a lot of time at the ranch. We watched movies. We did puzzles. We drank good wine. It was just, Montana is just such an awesome place to go, especially in the summer, where you don't really even have to do anything. And it's just beautiful. And you can go on little hikes and you can go fishing if you want, or you can go pop over to Yellowstone if you want. And it was a really, really wonderful trip. It was a great way to kind of detox from technology and work and everything. And that was a wonderful trip. And then shortly after that, you guys went to Disney.
Yes. So that's nothing new for us, but this trip was a little more special in particular. It was kind of a send-off for my oldest daughter, Kristen, kind of her last hurrah before being a college student. So we spent five nights there at Disney. We stayed at Riviera, which we've never done before, and we loved it. Uh-huh. We really loved it. It was just a great experience. Originally, it was only going to be myself, Kristen, and Carrie, but Kristen was nice enough to extend an invite to her sister, Marin, so that was exciting. So,
let me ask you about the Riviera real quick.
Yeah.
Do you think the Riviera still a good place for younger kids, or do you find that it's geared more toward perhaps middle school, high school kids and adults?
No, I think it's wonderful. So, and it's really a best of both worlds. So let's start with the pool area, let's say. There is a pool that is the full-blown, big giant slide, big pool, splash area. You can do whatever you want over there, which is great. And if you want to hang over there, you can. Now, let's say if you're an adult, or if you do have the older kids, or if your younger kids are upstairs with your sibling, right next to it is a quiet adults-only pool.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can kind of sneak over there, and that's kind of where we mostly hung out. And there was nobody in the water. And the chairs are like extra cushioned, and there's a hot tub. And I mean, we met, you know how I get after a few, I get to talking.
My favorite Brad.
Yeah. So we were in the hot tub with some ladies from Jersey and chatting them up, and another guy who was he was just bragging about his wife being a travel agent, blah blah blah. But we had a fun time, and but then the one neat thing is it, and you probably see this with Swan and Dolphin, is it's very kind of condensed, so it's very quick to, if you have to run back to the room, it's not a hike. So it was the first time I had walked through Riviera, I didn't think I'd like it. Then we stayed there and absolutely love it. If you don't know where it is, it's literally almost right behind America in the countries.
Right. Epcot. And you get to it by the Skyliner.
Yeah, you can get there, but it's so close. And then what makes that important is if you have to take a bus to Magic Kingdom, it's a very short bus ride. We kind of pulled off all kind of tricks of the trade, which I won't get into here, but it was a really fun place. We had a great time. We really went all out on dining this trip. You know, as the old saying goes at Disney, it's only money.
So, yeah, exactly. So you had a lot to celebrate as well.
Yeah, we just showed her a great time. And so we really enjoyed it. The one thing, and I know we had texted you about this, was in the lobby, there's it's like a coffee shop by day, but a bar by night. And they had this, just the most perfect mimosas that you could walk out, and they had like, they were like little plastic flute cups. So you could walk out, wait for the bus, pound it, and get on the bus feeling pretty good.
You know, I love my mimosas.
So it was, yeah. The only thing missing was your crew.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm going to segue into Kristen then. So, of course, this was a celebratory. She graduated high school and she's going off to college. So how's that for you guys?
You know, it hasn't, as I said before, with the graduation and everything, it just hasn't sunk in. Thank goodness she's not going to like California. She'll be right close to home, which she wanted to be. And I don't know, man. You know, I really can't wrap my head around it. We'll be moving her in at the end of the month. She's getting ready for a sorority rush. That's what she wants to do. So she's eager about that. She's, you know, thank goodness it's so different from when we went to school. Now they have social media. So they already have a huge head start on who they're rooming with and who their suite mates are. So that kind of relationship is already starting to build instead of awkwardly forming in the first couple weeks.
Right. Yeah. Back in the day when you would get an assignment, then you would exchange phone numbers and try to call the person on their landline and be like, hey, what you bringing? Cool. That's at least how it was. I went to Kentucky. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know one single person there. So I just got randomly paired up with a girl that lived in Franklin, like the Nashville area. And I remember like calling her to ask, hey, should I bring a TV?
You know? Right. I can bring the refrigerator.
Right.
If you can bring the microwave.
Right. That's nice though. And I know hopefully she'll be a tried out. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but of course that's what I was. And it's a good sorority to be in, but I'm so excited for Kristen. I know that it's going to be an adjustment for her as well as you, and especially Kevin, who is extremely close to Kristen.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Kevin's going to be in seventh heaven, I think, because he'll be around Kristen and probably her friends. I imagine we will have a group of folks around the place at all times. And that's what we're kind of hoping for. We want to kind of be the cool folks and just entertain people and show people, a good time. So I think he'll be fine. He's come a long way since that day he broke into tears with the acceptance letter. So he's going to be good. You know who's going to, honestly, she will never admit it, but the person who will miss Kristen the most is Marin.
Yeah. Yeah, she will. They've gotten really close over the past few years, especially.
You know, Marin, again, would never admit it, but she looks up to Kristen a lot more than she thinks. Particularly with like clothes and hair and makeup and all that girly stuff. So,
their entire wardrobe of Lulu and all of that. That's awesome.
You were joking about the phone thing. I was watching an episode of Dallas the other day and, we all remember the landlines.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd get phone calls and I just for some reason remember calling like, when you'd call a young lady and you'd have to be like, hey, is Carrie there? Yes, who's calling? And you have to say your name and this anxious wait.
I know.
Like, good grief. Well,
and then the worst was, say somebody, I remember this distinctly, you had one line. And I remember my mom and dad ran their business out of their home and I'd be waiting for them to get off the phone so someone could call me. It was just busy and busy. I remember it was a really big deal when we finally got two lines.
Right.
When I started getting older and people were starting to call me, I was like, Mom, like you need to get a business line because obviously people need to call me. I'm popular. So
click over.
But I used to get really, I know exactly what you're talking about. You'd get like anxious. You were like always hopeful that the father or the mother never asked who's calling. And then if it was in my situation, there were a lot of times where my dad would say, who's calling? And if he didn't think that I should be talking to that person, he would just hang up.
How about that?
He was just like, nope. And then the next day at school, so-and-so would be like, hey, I tried to call you last night. Your dad hung up on me. And I'm like, yeah, that's – how about that?
That is amazing. There are some – maybe there are some positives to the old way of doing things.
Oh, I know. I love it. I'm actually reading a book right now called Ready Player One. Have you read this book or heard of it?
I've seen the movie, if that's the same thing.
It is the same thing, but yes. The book – because of course I watched it with my ultra nerdy husband, Jeff, who legitimately reads four books at the same time. I don't even comprehend how he does that, but we watched the movie together and Brad, I'm not even kidding you. it took 45 minutes to get through the first 10 minutes of the movie because he kept stopping it and be like, well, in the book, it does this and this and this and this.
Pop-up video.
So just download it on Audible. I'll listen to it. It's actually a fantastic book, but a lot of the references are from the 80s because that's kind of – it's not set in the 80s, but they're very – they go back to a lot of 80s references. So The Landline and, of course, Family Ties and all of the movies from the 80s, Star Wars and War Games and all of this. And it just kind of takes you back to that time and thinking about growing up in the 80s. And it was just such a wonderful time. It really was.
It was definitely a different time. That's for sure.
It was different. But
when school started after Labor Day, I think we should bookend school years. You get out before Memorial Day and you don't go back till after Labor Day.
I'm for it. There's no reason to have these super long, I'm sure educators will disagree, but super long school years and then super long days as well. I think they should cut out some of the stuff. But
let me just throw out a grenade into the room. Hey, teachers, just teach it quicker and faster and better.
Right? No, but you have props to educators. I took a stab at it last year. I'm going to take another stab at it this year. But your wife, Carrie, she's about to retire, which is super impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, 20 some years doing it, like you said, I mean, it takes its toll. That's for sure.
Yeah, it does. Oh my goodness gracious.
Getting blown up here. And I think I'm on that same stream.
We're both getting texted in a group text. Sorry guys, if you hear the beep in the let me mute this.
This one former broadcaster knows how to mute his phone.
Oh geez. But yeah, it's been a great summer. I'm excited for fall. Of course, we've started up with all the fall sports. The kids are doing, all three kids are doing soccer. Luke's back in golf, ballet.
Yeah, and I had this on my sheet here and I forgot it. Tell me about Luke's experience at Pinehurst. He is one of the best golfers for his age in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's an amazing experience. If you're a golfer, you're probably familiar with Pinehurst, North Carolina. It's just a beautiful town that has dozens and dozens of golf courses. I don't want to even say how many they have, but it's literally a town that's just built as a golf community. And every year, the best players of each age group they start at 6 and they go up to 14, they go to Pinehurst. And this isn't just kids from the U.S. So last year, Luke got invited, and Luke is an amazing golfer. We're not saying he's not, but last year he got invited mainly because of COVID. So what happened was a lot of the internationals, because of the travel restrictions, couldn't make it. So his window opened up really last minute, and we were like, all right, cool. Let's give it a whirl. We rolled up in there. We constantly joke. We felt like Tin Cup. He had 5 golf clubs and a putter and little rinky dink golf bag the sticks didn't even hold it up. So Jeff had to like hold it on his back and then just hold it up upright when they were resting or lay it down. So it was pretty janky, but Jeff's whole thing, the whole time is, you know, we have 4 kids and he's not going to make this massive, huge financial investment until he knows that he's really serious about golf. So we walked away from that. He came in 78th place out of 95 kids, maybe. So it was, now you're texting Brad. We were very proud of him, yada, yada. That was last year. So this year, when he got invited, we felt that it was actually an earned spot because, of course, there were kids from Australia, the UK, New Zealand, Venezuela, Brazil, Mexico, all over the world. So they pull in the best players of each age group from all over the world, and they invite them to Pinehurst. So Luke came in 30th place, which we were really proud of, out of 120 kids. And the crazy thing about it is he was only three strokes away from coming in the top 15. That's how competitive it is.
That's awesome.
So if he would have just shaved off three strokes, he would have come in 15th place. So currently he's ranked the 30th best 8-year-old golfer in the world. And we're extremely proud of him. He is out there. Even today it was 90 degrees. He wants me to drop him off to hit balls. He's there for an hour and a half. Then I go pick him up and it's just great. It's interesting though, because Jeff and I talk a lot about, you know, of course, how hard do you push your kid? How much do you, you know, of course we support him, but, and also an interesting thing is we also don't want him to peak at 8 or 9 years old, because say, for example, next year comes in fifth place, or heaven forbid he wins the whole thing. Like, how do you top that? That's a tremendous amount of pressure on a young kid.
And you don't want the desire to leave.
Exactly. It's interesting, because this world of golf, as I've talked about on the podcast before, it's such a mental sport. You're out there alone. You know, you may have a double bogey or you may have an eagle. You just never know. And that's golf. I mean, interestingly enough, Phil Mickelson, you know, wins a major, and then the very next week he doesn't even make the cut. That's just how golf goes. It's up and down. It's different every single day. And it's a lot on these kids. And when we walked away from Pinehurst and came home, Luke was very proud. He was very happy. He was also very disappointed, because he knew how close he was to scoring higher. But honestly, like, he went into the basement and watched movies for like 3 days in the air conditioning, because he was just physically, mentally, emotionally spent. So it's a wonderful experience, but it's also, I mean, you're on the world stage as an 8-year-old. I can't even fathom that.
Oh, and you know, and only going through it with Ryan in baseball, you know, you have a growth spurt, your body changes. And I know a golf swing is so meticulous. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy factors out there that people have to navigate.
Absolutely. And Luke is a pretty small 8-year-old. There are kids that are a full head taller than him. And that's another thing. He might hit a growth spurt when he's 12 and shoot up to 5'10". You just never know. But right now he's pretty small. So he gets frustrated, because there's kids that are twice his size that can outdrive him by 40, 50 yards, but that's golf. So you work on the short game. And so my whole point of that is, I mean, I could do an entire podcast on this, but it was a wonderful experience. We're extremely grateful for it. We're extremely proud of him. But, you know, at the same time, he came back and he's like, I got a lot of work to do. And that's great. And that's primarily why he's choosing to be homeschooled, is because he just wants to spend half his day learning and half his day golfing. And that's okay. So.
Awesome. Well, hey, Shanice, it's been fun catching up with you.
Yes, let's do it again. Let's not wait months. Now that we're back in the swing of things, we need to have a fall episode. We need to probably recap fall sports and all of that. And my gosh, we have a trip together planned coming up in a month.
Yes, that might be a perfect setting. We'll have to see how all that shakes out, if we have time in between all of the fun we'll be having.
You mean if we're sober enough to? Yeah, I cannot wait. We're heading down to Naples to see your guys' place and cheer on FSU, and it's going to be a great time. So
awesome. Well, hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next time here on the She's Becoming Domestic podcast.